The basic transaction is relatively easy in healthcare. Something hurts or just doesn't feel or look right, so you go see a doctor. The doctor figures out what the problem is, describes a treatment plan, and away you go. Simple transaction until you get to the money part. How we pay for healthcare is continually a huge issue in our country. Health insurance really helps with those bills, and more people are covered by it than ever before since the passage of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. But even President Obama says it's not perfect. Our guests have some ideas for where to go next. They are supporters of a larger change to health care and health insurance, and they are backers of a ballot measure just in the city of Ashland. Measure 15-154 is a non-binding message to the legislature, in a sense. Our guests are Joseph Graff and Sandra Coyner, who brought the measure to the Ashland City Council. They are members of Healthcare for All Oregon, HCAO. Joseph Graff, welcome to the exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Sandra Coyner, good to have you here as well.
Hello, thank you.
And we have another guest with us, Lori Hoagland, who's a nurse practitioner at La Clinica in the Medford area. Thank you for joining us, Lori.
Thank you for letting me.
So let's start with the general set of stances held by Healthcare for All Oregon. Either Joe or Sandra want to take that one on?
Well, Healthcare for All Oregon is a statewide organization that's been very active for several years and is primarily concerned with bringing a single-payer system to the state of Oregon.
And to the country. Single-payer system primarily to Oregon and eventually to the whole country.
All right, so single-payer system for Oregon, which obviously we've missed a bit up this far. I mean, has it ever come close to your knowledge, Joseph Graff? I mean, Oregon has led in a number of ways, particularly with Medicaid reform, the Oregon Health Plan, but it seems like this is still a long way away.
Well, it is a long way away. One of the reasons we have the ballot measure and one of the reasons that Healthcare for All Oregon is excited is that the Affordable Care Act does allow individual states, I believe it's called the Wyden waiver, to do something on their own, which could include single payer, could include their own public option, could include something different from the standard Affordable Care Act, which is private insurance companies offering plans on an exchange. So Oregon is one of the states that's working on it. We may not be the first. There's a ballot measure going on right now in Colorado for something called Colorado Care. Vermont came very close to passing a single payer. The New York legislature, the House passed a single payer bill, but it didn't make it through the Senate in the state of New York. So there are several states that are working on finding a way to improve healthcare, the funding for healthcare.
I noticed a Sandra Coyner and Joseph Graft Fund at the Oregon Community Foundation. Is that mm-hmm. also dedicated to healthcare issues?
Oh no, it's lots of things, okay. Lots of things.
All right, so I want to come to Lori Hoagland now, and you can tell us a bit about your work at La Clinica and the circumstances of the patients you see.
I work as a nurse practitioner. I have a panel of patients at the Phoenix Health Center, which is about 400 people who I see regularly for their health care, prescribe medicines, order labs, and kind of pay attention to their whole spectrum of care, dental care, hospital care, et cetera. I also work in our mobile health unit, so we go to different sites, basically bringing health care to people, many people, by virtue of not being able to drive or not having the financial resources, have a difficult time getting into a clinic or getting into a hospital. So we bring our unit there, and we can provide care to them. We go to the Mission. We go to St. Vincent de Paul. We go to Set Free Church in Medford. I also work at Phoenix Elementary School and at Phoenix High School. So it's quite a variety of people in the Rogue Valley.
Do you see a mixture of people who are covered by insurance, not covered by insurance, on Oregon Health Plan?
We do see a mixture. We are a federally qualified health center, so a large number of our patients are Oregon Health Plan patients. We also, though, take everyone. We have a sliding scale set up for people who have no health coverage, and we also take people Medicare as well as private plans.
So as you see people and you're dealing with their medical issues and aware of what their financial and insurance issues are as well, I mean, are you part of the push towards single payer? Is that what you think is a good option as well?
Yes. I find that I believe to the depth of my mind, heart, and soul that all people are entitled to health care. And until you have a single-payer system, you are caught in brokering health care because every individual has their own unique set of circumstances, and finance always plays a part in that.
All right, so let's come back to the political realm and this election. And there is a ballot measure just in the city of Ashland. It is the measure 15-154. Caption is support legislature's efforts for significant improvement in Oregon's healthcare system, which sounds rather broad. Can you make this a little more specific for us, either just Joe Graff or Sandra Koiner?
Well, the background for the ballot measure is that in previous legislative sessions, some of our colleagues in Healthcare for All Oregon, working with legislative supporters, have introduced bills that first set up a study to look at the best way for Oregon to finance health care. And as often happens in the legislature, they passed the bill and didn't fund it the first time. So in the 2015 legislative session, the bill was passed that actually funded a study. So the state went out through the Oregon Health Authority, went out to send out the request for proposals to do a study on financing of health care in Oregon. And the bill that enabled that had a whole list of criteria for what to look at within the study. But basically, it's universal, comprehensive, affordable, et cetera. And,
all right, so I want to get to the options in a moment. We have to get to a break here soon. But is the study done or is
the study? The study will be done probably next month. Latest in December, in time for the 2017 legislative session.
All right, so the actual field work on collecting the information for it is going on now.
It's going on now. The RAND Corporation has been hired to do the study.
Okay, more on the study of options for Oregon health care and how ballot measure 15-154 in Ashland ties into that, and a much larger scale of discussion about health care for everyone as we continue on the Jefferson Exchange. Back in a minute five. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We are talking about health care, health insurance, and reform of all of the above here on the Jefferson Exchange today. Prompted by a ballot measure, it is not affecting a lot of people because it is a City of Ashland ballot measure, 15-154, which essentially is a message to the legislature to do something that the people who vote for it would like to see done. We have a couple of the proponents here with us. Joseph Graff and Sandra Koiner are from Healthcare All for All Oregon, brought the measure to the Ashland City Council and are longtime proponents of single-payer health care, as is Lori Hoagland, who is in the healthcare business. She's a nurse practitioner at La Clinica in the Medford area. You can join our discussion on the Jefferson Exchange. Single-payer, public option, something other than what we have now, what would you like to see in healthcare in the near future? 800-838-3760 is our phone number. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So we were just talking about the study that the state of Oregon did actually go out and do. It's an interesting progress here because the 2013 legislature said, yes, let's do the study, but didn't fund it. The 2015 legislature then passed the funding, and you said, Joe Graff, that the study is being performed now and should be released before the end of the year.
It should be released before the end of the year. The goal is to have the materials available to be studied and then acted on, we hope, at the 2017 legislative session.
All right, so that's what you want the legislature to do, and then the question then that you've asked to be put before the voters in Ashland deals with the same general realm of issues. What are you asking people to vote for here?
Well, we're asking people to vote to send an encouraging message to the legislature to follow through on the study and enact better health care for the citizens of Oregon. We don't know off the top what the results of the study are going to be. The RAND Corporation has been charged with evaluating four options. One option is a single-payer system. One option is a public option. One option is a you've got the bill right in front of you.
I do.
See if I've got it right.
So far, so good. Private insurance coverage.
And one option is essentially the status quo, and the fourth option is anything else they might suggest that would improve the healthcare system. Whenever studies have been done like this in other states, they tend to come up with single payer, but we can't guarantee that. Although we're pretty sure that the status quo is not going to be the most attractive to meet all the goals of the legislation. And whatever comes out, it's going to be an improvement for the citizens of Oregon.
So it's interesting. So the number four option then is a bit of a wild card, it sounds
yes.
like. And so why, Sandra Coyner, bring this to the city council? Why just have the Ashland voters decide on this and make it perhaps a bigger canvas?
Well, Corvallis is doing the same thing. And Portland and Eugene are working on having their city council simply send a message without going through the ballot to the legislature. But our legislators who support us say that these kinds of local resolutions make a difference. And when the study comes up for review by the legislature, having localities like Ashland say, we want you to do something, will help us get closer to our goal.
And there's nothing actually binding in this that I see. In fact, you're not even instructing the city council, if this passes, to send a resolution to the legislature.
You know, there's nothing binding in it yet, because we're waiting to get good proposals on the table. One of the things I like about this process is that the original bill that set up the study, House Bill 3260, listed a number of criteria that we want our health care financing system in Oregon to meet. And to say that we want the legislature to provide us with a state health care system that meets these criteria is to say that what we've got now isn't meeting them. And we have options for getting closer, but we want the health care system we have to be the one that's most likely to give us good health care. I think for me, two of the most important criteria in that list are that it be universal and that it be affordable for individuals and businesses. What we have now is not universal. We have people who do not have adequate health care coverage. And what's happening in 2016 is it is increasingly less and less affordable, both for individuals and for businesses who are trying to provide health care for their employees.
And do you trace back to what you see as the reasons for that happening, why it's becoming less affordable over time?
Well, you bet. I mean, the number one, I think, thing that is so visible to everybody right now is the dramatic increases in prices of certain drugs. And there's no way for consumers to counter those ridiculous price increases. If we had a single-payer system, its buying power would allow for negotiations to reduce the impact on consumers of drug prices. But the other thing is, a third of the dollars spent on health care in America don't go for health care. They go for administration. We pay almost twice as much as the next highest country pays per capita for health care. A third of those dollars, a lot of those are what I would call waste. And for me, single payer can be seen as a conservative political measure because it wants to get rid of waste.
And conservatives tend to talk about waste, fraud, and abuse and eliminating that.
You betcha. Single payer looks like it can even have a potential for reducing fraud as well. There will be better controls.
So the third of the money that you say gets spent on administration, is this health administration, insurance company administration, both?
Somebody's paying to have the name MOTA on the stadium where the Blazers play basketball. The salaries in healthcare insurance companies for top executives are really high. If you see an advertisement for a company that wants you to buy their healthcare insurance instead of somebody else's healthcare insurance, you won't have to pay that money under a single payer system. Your options will be laid out for you, and you won't have to see that stuff on your computer when you're searching the internet. So that one third of dollars is almost equal to how much healthcare costs excess in the United States versus other advanced countries.
I want to talk about some of the things that you see as that might have gone wrong with the passage of the Affordable Care Act. I do want to come to Lori Hoagland, though, as somebody who is in the business. I mean, you're providing health care. What changes have you seen since the Affordable Care Act first clicked in nearly 3 years ago?
We have seen many more people have access to care than had it before, and that's very exciting. It also has a little bit of the effect of being overwhelming, because we have a lot of patients and we need to see them.
And are they largely sicker than other people because they haven't been insured?
Yes,
health providers?
There's clearly that part. And that part also scares me with having the health insurance piece in healthcare, because deductibles, all these extra costs of healthcare deter people getting care early. And so they wait, and then they're much sicker, and the cost of their care and just the whole complexity of medicines and imaging and all the pieces that go into taking care of them when they're very sick
So potentially they could have gotten preventive care, but they wouldn't have met their deductibles, so they wait until they are in worse shape and therefore running up bigger bills, and they do meet the deductibles.
Yeah, yeah. And people have to take time off work. Sometimes that's very difficult to be seen. The emergency rooms are, of course, and some urgent care clinics are available outside of the regular workday, but many people have to, there's big costs involved to getting care. But yes, since the Affordable Care Act went into being, there are many more people who are getting care.
Joe Graff, and I should point out, you're wearing a button that says health care is a human right, and it's got the World War II era Rosie the Riveter kind of,
right.
Showing the big bicep image on it.
Yes, Rosie the Nurse, as we call
Rosie
her.
Rosie the Nurse, okay. So I can guess that just on its face, before it even went into effect, the Affordable Care Act was nothing like what you had hoped would emerge from health care reform. Is that a fair statement?
I think that's a fair statement. The Affordable Care Act resulted from the usual sausage making and doing legislation, and I think it was an attempt to balance the status quo with healthcare financing largely being done through private insurance companies and some improvements that gave patients more option and brought more people into the system, but it wasn't close to a single payer or even a public option because both of those were taken off the table right away. And so we're seeing, I think, some of the issues on the downside. On the upside, a lot more people have coverage. A lot more people are qualified for Medicaid, which means people who really need care, who really can't afford the private system, will get some care. But the people who are really losing out are the next layers of people who have a little bit of money, so they don't qualify for Medicaid. But they have to go into the private insurance market if they don't have employer-provided health care. And that's really a bind because it's a fairly small pool in a lot of places. And the rates are high, and you have your choices. You can pay low premiums and have a huge deductible or copay, which means you don't pay much in premiums, but you have to pay every single time you do anything.
And we had a chance to look at the list recently of what the offerings will be across all 36 Oregon counties in 2017. And some of the rural counties had five insurance options on the marketplace this year. They will have two next
yes.
year. And I thought, well, this is the Wheeler County of the world and the Hardigan, even Lane County, down to two options insurance companies through the marketplace. So it's been a big hit.
It's tough. And so people have to choose. Are we going to get insurance? Are we going to pay the penalty, which is worse for us because we're living day to day, week to week, paycheck to paycheck? And it's just not working for a lot of those people. And as a result, Sandra's pet peeve, personal bankruptcies due to medical issues, are very, very high.
How high? And are they on the increase?
A third of the personal bankruptcies in the United States are caused by people being unable to pay their medical bills. I think personal bankruptcy is a tragedy for a lot of people, for the family whose economic life is ruined and for the creditors who they can't pay because they don't have the money. So why in our system is the ultimate responsibility for suffering because you can't pay put on the people who are sick or who had the accident and who need the care? It seems to me that these are, especially with accidents and diseases that are beyond your control, this is a community responsibility. We shouldn't say you got sick, so now your financial life is ruined. So the only way to eliminate personal bankruptcies for inability to pay health care bills is, I think, to make sure that all those bills get paid. That'll be good for hospitals and providers, too, who will actually be paid.
Sandra Coyner and Joseph Graff are with Healthcare for All Oregon. They supported ballot measure 15-154, getting on the ballot in Ashland, which is an advisory measure essentially representing the wishes of the voters that the state legislature will follow through on action to examine more actions in health care and health insurance. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Lori Hoagland is with us as well, nurse practitioner at La Clinica in the Medford area. Phone number here is 800-838-3760. Let's get your ideas on whether the system we have now is the good one or whether we need to move to something else, and if so, what that something else would be. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Grumpy John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. Hey, folks, since we already have a Veterans Administration who does have negotiating prices for drugs, why don't we just subcontract to the Veterans Administration and say, okay, you're going to order 10,000 units of diabetes medicine, of insulin, make it 14,000, and we'll pick up the cost for the administration and pay you a 2% fee for the bother, and get all of our drug costs routed through an already existing way of negotiating.
All right, let's get an idea for the buying power of large entities or buying with people in a large group.
That's a pretty good idea, and I think it may very well become part of the Oregon system as if we move toward single payer. The Veterans Administration has a very good record on being able to negotiate drug prices, and why not take advantage of an existing success?
Are you guys aware of Proposition 61 on the ballot in California? Lori Hoagland nods enthusiastically.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that, Lori.
Well, that's actually very linked to what this gentleman is mentioning, and that is that there is an attempt to try to utilize the drug pricing that the VA currently has for the Medicaid pricing of medicines. And the drug companies are reacting very strongly. I know I just came back from California, and there's lots and lots of no on 61 signs. They feel very scared to have regulation enter into pharmacy pricing,
but the yes vote would require the state agencies that buy the drugs then to pay the same thing that the Department of Veterans Affairs pays. Give us an idea. La Clinica, I don't know how much you're in the business of providing medication in addition to the health services you do. I mean, is there much buying of medication through that entity?
We dispense some medicines with our mobile unit, and we work with a lot of local community agencies to help pay for medicines for people who can't afford it. I also have an app on my cell phone that lets me know what the different drug prices are at different pharmacies. It's an incredibly complicated system, and it changes all the, you know, from one month to another. So when you put someone on a medicine, you really have to think about what that means for them over time, because they may be able to get it this month, and then 6 months from now, it may be unaffordable. So, you know, that part of healthcare is a really difficult one.
Whence comes the volatility then? I mean, why are drug, is it simply because we've gotten into the zone of Martin Shkreli taking the medicine for, was it lupus or something, and just jacking it up about 500%?
I think that's it. These couple of cases we've seen recently show that pharmaceutical companies, if they change their leadership and they decide to raise the price by 1,500%, they can do it.
Let us move on to discussion of the public option. I mean, in addition to the single-payer program that you have pushed for a long time, I want to make sure that people understand when we say public option what that means.
Public option means that we would still have this exchange, this marketplace, but in addition to health care insurance policies offered by private corporations, there would be an option that is provided by government to compete with the others. Back when Obamacare was being created, it was thought that a public option would be so much more efficient than a for-profit corporation that it would drive the others out of business, and that might be one reason why the insurance companies wanted to make sure there was no public option in the bill. There will be in Washington next year, there will be start of discussion of adding a public option to the Obamacare system. What I want us to know is that a public option could be a step on the way toward a single payer system, and it could be an obstacle. And one of the reasons, one of the things we have to think about a lot is the risk pool. What makes health insurance work is having a big risk pool so that everybody pays in and we have enough people paying in that when some family has a horrible expense, there's enough money in the system to pay that. We don't want to have our healthcare system set up as it was certainly before Obamacare, and I think still is, where there are people who are trying to make a profit by restricting the risk pool so they only have healthy people in their scene. And if the public option collects all the high-risk people, leaving the low-risk people to for-profit insurance companies, the companies are going to love that, and it's not going to help.
So you ultimately need a distribution. You need people of all ages and all health, from poor to I'm fantastic, to be in one pool, it sounds like, to make those pools work.
To me, it's like fighting fires. You know, you don't want to have five firefighting companies in the city of Ashland. We want to work together and have one that's going to serve all of us so no houses burn down that don't need to burn down.
All right, much more to talk about on healthcare, on single payer, on public options, and other things that might come down the road. A lot of this spurred by a ballot measure in the city of Ashland, imploring the legislature to continue moving ahead with this in Oregon. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange when we come back. Don't forget, it's Fund Drive, 888-552-6191 for your pledges of support by phone, online at ijpr.org. Back to the Exchange in a minute five. Final segment of today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. The topic today is healthcare reform, health insurance reform. It can go by a number of names, but we're looking at it from the present on into the future. There's a ballot measure in just the city of Ashland which expresses the will of the voters, should it pass, that the legislature take action on following through with a plan to study some options, which would include a single-payer system in Oregon, which is potentially possible under some changes to the Affordable Care Act happening effective January 1st. Our guests are Joseph Graff and Sandra Coyner from Healthcare for All Oregon, who helped get this on the ballot in Oregon, in Ashland, rather. Lori Hoagland is actually in the healthcare provider business. She's a nurse practitioner at La Clinica in the Medford area. And your questions and comments, more than welcome, at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Just in general terms, we were talking about the Affordable Care Act earlier, and we heard some of the issues that Lori had mentioned from a provider point of view. President Obama himself commented last week that he thinks of what emerged in the Affordable Care Act was a starter home, and that perhaps there'll be some heavy remodeling later on. Does either one of you think that it's a home that should be expanded upon, or would you like to see it torn down, I guess, to continue with the starter home analogy? Joe or Sandra?
That's a hard one to answer, because clearly the Affordable Care Act has done a lot of good things for a lot of people. And to have it completely torn down would be a real shame. There are lots of ways it can be improved. The question that always goes through my mind is, will the political system be able to do that? And in some cases, you'd like to see them leave it well enough alone until until several states decide to do their own plan. They work at the states, at the state level, and eventually the momentum builds for the country as a whole, which we've seen in a number of other issues.
Which is ultimately what you're talking about here, is you want to see Oregon get its own single-payer system and be a laboratory and show to the other states, hey, this will work.
Yes, that's what we want, and we want the Colorado measure to pass, and we want all other states that are working on it to be successful, to demonstrate that it does work, that it doesn't ruin people's lives, and it doesn't control health care. It's not socialized medicine.
And, of course, in terms of healthcare financing, the United States is way outlier internationally speaking. I mean, single-payer healthcare is just a version of the Canadian system, or the system in Chile, or versions that are all over Europe. We're the only advanced country that doesn't have some kind of system like this.
Well, which raises the question, I hope, Lori Hoagland, you might have a little knowledge of the Canadian system, because it seems like particularly in the presidential campaign, there's one candidate who continues to say the Canadian system is so bad, you wait for months, the care is terrible, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, from any knowledge you might have picked up over the years about single-payer systems like Canada, what do you know to be perhaps the truth of how they function?
Well, I think it's important to know that Canada also got their single-payer system one province at a time. It didn't happen immediately. I think that the fear is that, you know, you have a single standard of care and everybody's going to be waiting and nothing can happen quickly. I think I've seen enough information coming out of Canada that that's not true. I think there's a lot of waiting that goes on in the United States for different reasons. Sometimes it's just getting the approval by the insurance company to have a procedure or have a treatment. I really think if you did a comparison, it would not really show that Canadians wait longer for healthcare than we do. I think that having insurance companies involved who also have a commitment to shareholders to make a profit off of illness is just kind of going about healthcare from the wrong angle. And I think that's a big difference between what we try to do here versus what single-payer systems do in other parts of the world.
Which brings up an email from Wolfgang. He says in Rainy Valley today, not in Sunny Valley. And he takes issue with the provision of healthcare as an economic thing. He says, I can't help thinking what would happen if the word provide were replaced by sell, unless it truly referred to something freely given, or if the word seeing a patient were replaced by cha-ching. I really believe that the language gravely contributes to a deception that keeps many people unseen, unprovided for, and uncovered. That from Wolfgang, actually in Sunny Valley, though he calls it Rainy Valley. Do the dollars and cents, I mean, from your perspective in providing health care, come into it way too often?
Unfortunately, especially since I do happen to work in a clinic where we take people without health coverage, we see it every day, and it can be very tragic when you're trying to work with someone who really needs a medicine, for instance, that absolutely doesn't have the money for it, and trying to do all of the extra parts of brokering to get the care that that person needs. I, as a healthcare provider, just want to go in and take good care of every single patient I see every day.
But does it end up like that? There's a series of phone calls, like who can take care of this part of it?
There's a lot of phone calls, a lot of prior authorizations. There's a lot of extra time and cost in a system that you're constantly asking the question, can we afford this?
Joe in Talent sent in an email. He says, good and affordable health care is impossible in this country, and he puts good and affordable in quotes. He says, it's impossible in this country as long as we accept that greed is the motivator of innovation. Jonas Salk would be the outlier here, doing what he did about polio for the good of everyone and not lining his pockets. I support single payer, but does anyone think the insurance companies are going to let that happen? Does anyone think the drug companies are going to let the government manage the end price of pharmaceuticals? How many doctors are going to provide services at reduced costs? It's all a big money grab, and the best we can do is incremental changes, sadly. That from Joe in Talent. So Joe here in the room given the money in the healthcare system now and how many people stand to potentially not get as much under a single-payer system, I mean, these are formidable obstacles, aren't they?
I think they are. They're formidable political obstacles. The only way to overcome them is to give power to the people. Because we do have the best healthcare system in the world if you're rich. We don't have the best healthcare system if you're a regular person with a regular income. And obviously, these companies, the insurance companies, the pharmaceutical companies, some, though not by far not all, medical providers, are pushing the system to be more and more and more expensive. I saw in the paper a while ago, pharmaceutical companies have put in at that time, which was probably a week ago, $108 million to fight this Proposition 61 in California. Hmm. And we expect that since this is Oregon, if the legislature passes a single-payer bill, or if they don't, there'll be a ballot measure, because if they pass it, the insurance companies or others will put it on the ballot to overturn it. So we will have a ballot measure probably in 2020 under any circumstance, and we expect that we're going to see a similar proportional thing with the companies fighting it with a lot of money. It'll be somewhat similar to what we're seeing now with Measure 97. Where there are a lot of millions and millions of dollars are coming in from companies to fight that part of what they see as an impingement on their profits, And I think we're going to see a very similar thing with a health care, any kind of health care resolution. So it's going to be a long, long fight, and the only way we can do that is by mobilizing all of the citizens.
I was going to ask you about Measure 97, Sandra Coiner, because that does present an interesting variable. Should it pass and provide $3 billion more per year to the budget in the state of Oregon, does this bolster the case for getting single payer or
sure.
public option?
Sure. And it allows enough money to plan for that transition in a very capable way. I want to underline something Laurie said. We're looking at a fight in 2020, and I hope it's not just money versus money, but we'll have to raise money and we'll have to work hard for it. But Laurie said she wants to help people get better. One reason there's so many doctors and nurses supporting single payer is because there's a whole lot of people in this country who are not motivated simply by money. Healthcare professions and my profession, the teaching profession, I think include a lot of people who we want a decent, make a decent living, but we don't need to make trillions of dollars in order to feel good about ourselves. We want to serve, and we want a healthcare system that lets us do that.
All right, a final call here from Moshe in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much, my friends. You're doing great work. I'm a therapist here in Eugene. I also teach Chinese and Ayurvedic herbal health care and was a head biologist and herbalist for 5 of the advanced vitamin urban enzyme companies. What Trillium has become is astonishing and shocking.
This is a CCO, Coordinated Care Organization in Lane County.
Exactly. You see, there's 16 CCOs, as you say, Coordinated Care Organizations. By privatizing them, it puts money as their central and virtually their own motivation, and meaning profit, not our well-being. What Trillium is doing is astounding. Do you know that there's only one complaint and grievance coordinator in the Oregon Health Authority for all 16 CCOs? 25% of the people in Oregon on Medicaid, over 1 million people, have one person to go to, and she almost never returns her calls. Trillium refused to provide me the name and phone number of that person. Do you know that the president of Trillium pocketed $5.8 million personally from the sale of Trillium to Centene? And you cannot go to their board meetings because they're private corporations.
Okay.
You cannot go. In addition to that, one of the most crucial things in privatizing the 16 CCOs is they're not subject to the Oregon Public Records Act.
Oh, interesting stuff all around. Moshe, thanks. Let's get a response before we have to go from Joe or Sandra or Lori. Sandra.
Representative Mitch Greenlick has been working hard on the issue of making sure CCOs in Oregon live up to their promise. And the Trillium case is egregious. I think the money that they built up in reserves that made them an attractive prospect to be purchased and put all that money in the pockets of their stockholders is money that should have been spent on the health care of the patients who went to that CCO. Legislation to rein in abuses like this needs to pass. It needs to pass fast. And Healthcare for All Oregon is supporting strongly the efforts of Mitch Greenlink to make sure that happens.
Lori, final comment from you?
Yeah, I think that's really what this measure in Ashland is all about, is the way that we are going to change the healthcare system is to start from a grassroots level and have everyone involved and caring and critically looking at what healthcare does for them. And this is what the measure is all about.
All right. The Ashland ballot measure is an advisory, 15-154, asking the legislature to do something in the legislative session coming up in February. We have Sandra Coiner and Joe Graff from Healthcare for All Oregon, who support single payer. Lori Hoagland is a nurse practitioner at La Clinica. She does as well. Thank you all for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Really good discussion.